Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Greg Carmichael to the broadcast. Greg is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Fifth Third Bank, a $6.7 billion diversified financial services company. Greg joined Fifth Third in 2003 as Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer. In 2012, he was named President and Chief Operating Officer, and Greg has served as the President and CEO since 2015. Prior to joining Fifth Third, Greg was the CIO of Emerson Electric and held several information technology and leadership positions at General Electric. Greg earned a bachelor's degree in computer science from the University of Dayton and a master's degree in business administration from Central Michigan University. Greg is a member of Fifth Third Bank's Board of Directors and of the Financial Services Roundtable Advisory Board, the leading advocacy organization for America's financial services industry. I recently caught up with Greg in his office in Cincinnati, Ohio, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 1, people, as Greg described the large pool of technology talent he's drawn from in Cincinnati, world-class IT Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed how Greg's knowledge of all the businesses in the organization enabled him to rise from CIO to CEO, and Principle 5, external partnerships, as we discussed the ecosystem Greg relies on for understanding and implementing emerging technology. We also discussed the extensive role technology plays in the banking industry, the potential every CIO has to become a strategic leader in their organizations, and a variety of other topics. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you'd give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. Thank you. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by TopTal, an exclusive network of the top freelance software developers, designers, and finance experts in the world. I recently caught up with TopTal CEO Tasso Duval, and he offered the following top five trends for hiring top talent.
The top five trends for hiring top talent are, one, hiring talent remotely, ensuring that they are able to work remotely and that companies are hiring talent remotely. Two, leveraging teams in different dispersed locations. If you're hiring in-house and you're leveraging remotely a bit, being open to having talent even in the same time zone is an important factor that we've noticed. Three, highly skilled teams becoming the majority rather than the lead, meaning ensuring that the team composition comprises of predominantly high-skilled labor rather than high-skilled labor supported by lower-skilled labor. Four, infrastructure being created to support those teams, ensuring that the teams in-house are connected with the remote teams that are working together. And five, flexibility with offer packages. We've seen that even the in-house talent that are joining companies from Google to Facebook and on are interested in demanding that there is a remote component to their job, whether it's one day a week or full-time, be included within their offer packages.
Greg Carmichael, welcome back to the Forum on World-Class IT. It's great to speak with you again.
It's great being here. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Well, Greg, I thought we'd begin with Fifth Third. You are, of course, the Chief Executive Officer of that organization. Can you take a quick moment just to kind of describe the business as it stands currently?
First of all, Fifth Third has been around for about 158 years, Peter. Company in asset size is about $141 billion in assets and roughly about 18,000 employees. And we operate close to 1,160 retail banking centers across 10 different states. And then we have commercial and consumer lending presence throughout the United States. Fifth Third is really four main businesses: commercial banking, branch banking, consumer lending, and wealth and asset management are the four businesses that we're in.
That's excellent. And obviously that spans both B2B and B2C. And I'd be interested in your perspectives on the role that technology plays in each.
First off, when you think about digitization and the role of technology in our bank, everything we do, the products that we build, distribution channels, is all done through technology. And even the way we service our customers, technology plays a major, major role. And our customers today, Peter, want to bank anywhere, anytime. And our focus really is providing the best service to our customers to enable them to do that. And things are changing. So if you zoom out a little bit, 60% of all of our financial transactions on the consumer side today come through our digital channels. That would be our web channel, our mobile channels, or our digital ATM channels. 90% of all interactions, whether it's just checking a balance to just, you know, and so forth, those things, 90% of all interactions and touch points with our customers happen through our digital channel. That's been a very fast transformation over the last 4 or 5 years as we're able to transact with the digital image of a check. In the mobile capabilities, a significant transition has occurred to our mobile platforms for simple things like depositing a check. On the commercial side, we continue to advance our product suite to allow our commercial customers to have access to a technology portal that houses all the capabilities and resources of the bank that they participate with, whether it be doing wires, accounts receivable transactions, those type of things. All that's done through our digital portals today. So a lot of the interactions with our commercial customers also occur through our digital channels, and that continues to evolve as our customers are looking to become more efficient. We have products and services that enable them to do that. So that transformation has been underway for some time, but really accelerated in the last 2 or 3 years.
And how is it organized, Greg? Is there a member of your team who is the shepherd of this, or is it the responsibilities of the broader leadership of the organization to think about the evolution of digital channels, digital business, the use of technology, and so on?
Every business leader is responsible for understanding the future of their business, the opportunities, the threats, and how to leverage the capabilities that are emerging in marketplaces and figure out how to best leverage those opportunities and manage those challenges going forward. What we've done is then around them, we put the right resources. So we have technology CIOs that support each one of our business units. So we have a CIO of the commercial bank. We have a CIO of the consumer bank. We have a CIO of the wealth and asset management bank, CIO of the payments division. So we have technology leaders assigned and aligned with these business units to provide that support from a technology perspective to help them think through those opportunities and challenges we just described. In addition to that, I have an organization that's fully focused on the digitization of our business unit. And that's all the way from our back office to how we touch our customers, how we sell to our customers in the future, inclusive of social media. We have an organization that's purely focused on the digitization of our franchise that also works with those CIOs aligned with those lines of businesses. In addition to that, we have a strategy, organization, and innovation team that's focused and aligned to each business unit, focused on innovative technologies, emerging technologies, and how to apply those to helping us solve business problems or better serve our customers.
How do you generally philosophically think about what is developed commonly versus those things that are managed individually? You mentioned and gave a great overview of the differences between, for instance, commercial, branch, consumer wealth, and asset. And no doubt, as you go across those, there are unique attributes of what's going to be developed for each of those. But obviously, there's also advantages in doing as much as you can commonly. How do you think about striking that balance?
Our strategy for delivering technologies really goes through a three-phased approach where one is our preference is obviously to acquire versus build. Second, then we would partner. Third, then we would build. So our strategy is always to look for technology, emerging technologies that would benefit us from a product perspective or service perspective. And that once we identify a product, then it's either we're either going to acquire it or we're going to partner with like a fintech company. Last resort is we build it, but we do build a lot of things, as all banks do at our size. So when we do that, all of our technology group is centralized, aligned with the business units, but the core infrastructure teams, data teams, and so forth are centralized. And we have a head CIO over all the other CIOs in the business that kind of makes sure that we're looking across our businesses for synergies, opportunities, and then obviously what we're building, okay, is built to be reliable, scalable, and that's done by the core CIO and his team.
Need to also mention that you are a former CIO yourself multiple times over, but also Infant Third. And so you've managed what is still, I think, an uncommon, though hopefully, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, one that will become more common path from chief information officer to chief executive officer. And I wonder, just as a starting point, at what point in your career did you first begin to think about becoming a CEO as an option? And I guess as a related question, what sorts of steps did you undertake in order to position yourself well to accomplish that, as of course you clearly have?
You know, when I was working in manufacturing for 18 plus years to my time at GE and Emerson, near the end of my tenure at Emerson, I was considering potentially a division CEO role at that point. We were in discussions about that, potentially making that type of transition that hadn't been done before. At the same time, I had opportunity to move from manufacturing sector into the financial services sector with Fifth Third and get back into my hometown area and really challenge myself in a different way to learn a different industry sector, which I was very intrigued by, which is financial services. So I was weighing my options at that time, decided to go ahead and make the move to banking. I came in as a CIO and then progressed through different positions at Fifth Third operations, and then taking over business lines like our indirect auto business, our mortgage company, our retail business, and then up and onward with respect to other opportunities. To be honest with you, other people saw that opportunity for me to be CEO before I did. I was starting to hear more and more about, you know, my career and what could happen and some of the expectations that were being developed out there by other people, which was very encouraging, which then started getting me thinking about it. Obviously learning, pick up more and more business responsibility, running the P&Ls, multiple business units. Then eventually, so at that point, really about 2012 timeframe, it really started to become potentially much clearer to me that there was a potential opportunity to become CEO at some point, if that's what the business wanted me to do, that's what the board wanted me to do, that I would position myself to do that. So the other question is, you know, do I think other CIOs can do this? Absolutely. In today's environment, especially because we live in a technology environment and the whole digitization that's going on, I think the CIO skill set about solving problems, being innovative, being forward-thinking, knowing how to execute and deliver solutions that meet the business's needs in the most effective way. All those skills that CIOs hone over the years, I think, are very applicable to the CEO job. The ability to multitask, the ability to give clear and concise information and communications to the organization so you can execute well. Those things all really transform well into the CEO role as you think about the job of the CEO.
That's excellent. I recall from a past conversation between us as well that during your time with GE, but even more so in your time in Emerson, you leveraged this strategic perch that the CIO has to get into the strategic knitting of every other part of the organization, something I know that you continue to do as CIO of Fifth Third, as a real advantage. It's a shame that not every CIO takes advantage the way that you have, but CIOs have a reason to bring to life the strategies of every other part of the organization, which is itself a pretty tremendous advantage if leveraged appropriately. Do I recall that conversation correctly?
Absolutely. I mean, the CIO position, if you think about it, touches every part of the organization. Your day-to-day interaction with the line of businesses, you really have to understand, Peter, their business. You have to understand their business in order to really think through the solutions and the options they have to be successful, to give them thoughts and opportunities to how they can grow their business, to show them paths in which they can excel and compete in a very challenging environment. So the CIO can play a very strategic role, but it starts with understanding their business, understanding the competitors out there, understanding what the competitors are working on, and bringing those ideas forth and those opportunities forth to help strengthen that business unit. The one thing I found making the transition from CIO to CEO is the first thing you have to really do before you can step into a leadership role is you have to know the business. No one wants to give a line of business head the job who doesn't know that line of business. They want people who understand it, who have a passion for it, who understand how to lead that type of organization, who understand how to be successful in that industry. So you have to know the business. So one of the things I tried to do is when I was in my CEO capacity is really learn the business and learn everything I could about that business and immerse myself in the business, not just the technology part of it. But I wanted to learn how everything happened, how it works, what doesn't work, what works well. And then kind of where's the future look like? What's it look like? How do we win? I did that from the CIO chair. And that experience, I think people saw as just a great opportunity to take over a leadership role in that business because I knew the business.
You alluded to earlier some of the tech trends that are rising, like fintech, for instance. One might think of blockchain or machine learning or artificial intelligence. All areas that are emerging and becoming more influential. You also talked about the need for Fifth Third to think creatively about partnerships with organizations who are involved in these kinds of technologies. Can I ask, how do you think about staying current on those trends as they are rising, and then also staying current on the ecosystem that you might develop for Fifth Third with people who are focused in these kinds of areas?
There's a lot of emerging technologies. You just mentioned a few of them, blockchain, AI, the whole emergence of social media. And what that means is how we talk to our customers, touch our customers, communicate with our customers, big data on how we reach our customers, knowing our customers better, you know, cloud computing that allows us to simplify and create more scalable models at a more efficient price point, and then whole real-time payments that's emerging right now in our sector. So there's a lot of things to keep and stay on top of. What I try to do, obviously, is make sure I'm well-informed, and I start early in the morning. I'm reading everything I can about what's occurring, what's emerging, what are some of the challenges, what's happening, what are my competitors doing, making sure I have clarity there, and then also working very closely with our digital team and the CIOs to make sure we're looking and assessing, once again, the opportunities and the threats in each business. And I spend a reasonable amount of time in that part of my job, even as CEO today. I want to understand if 60% of all of our financial transactions are moving to our digital devices solutions and 90% of our interactions, how do we sell to our customers in the future? How do we touch those customers? How do we reach them differently? You know, we don't want to put, you know, stuffers in the mail and send them, you know, blindly, you know, millions of people. We want to be very targeted about how we touch our customers. We want to be additive to helping them be successful. So we have to know them. And knowing them, the data we have today, knowing, you know, how many kids they have, when those kids get to college ages, the financial services that they might need at certain points in their family's development, that information is important to us to how we touch our customers. So there's significant ways in which we can, once again, leverage the emerging technologies to make us more efficient, to improve our ability to serve our customers, and make us more competitive.
You mentioned that you, when you came to Fifth Third, you came home. You are from Cincinnati. Yeah, I happen to be from Cincinnati as well, my hometown also. Mm-hmm. Can you give us just a brief overview as somebody who directly was hiring talent as a CIO and still, of course, are thinking about the tech talent available in Cincinnati? What is the tech ecosystem like these days in the Queen City?
You have to remember about Cincinnati. You definitely know, Peter. We got Procter & Gamble headquartered here. We got GE Aviation headquartered in Cincinnati, Ohio. You've got Macy's headquartered in Ohio. You've got Kroger's, the largest grocer, headquartered in Cincinnati. So all these companies are in Cincinnati. We have a strong technology base in Cincinnati. We have a tremendous resources on which to recruit to the bank. We have think tanks. We've got innovation teams merging, incubators emerging throughout Cincinnati. So over the last 5 or 6 years, especially with some of the emerging technologies and the incubators and so forth, I've seen a really nice pickup in resources in the community and just the talent that we have access to. And Cincinnati, as you know, is a great Midwest town. It's a great place to live. I have two challenges sometimes, getting people to want to move from the bigger cities to Cincinnati. And the second challenge I have is getting someone to ever leave Cincinnati, because once they get here, they love Cincinnati. And they like their Grater's ice cream. They like their Skyline chili. They like the easy access to this sports teams. The other thing I failed to mention is we have great universities locally. It's just a good, strong environment to recruit technology people. And once they're here, they love it here, and the retention is very strong.
Well, Greg Carmichael, thank you so much for joining us again on the Forum on World Class IT. It's been a great conversation, and all the better to see such a personified and an extraordinary trend, which is this rise from CIO to CEO. Congratulations again on your successful career.
Peter, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please rate us on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please join us next week when my guest will be Andrew Moore, the Dean of the Computer Science Department at Carnegie Mellon University. You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' 5 principles of world class IT. The 5 principles are as follows. Principle 1 is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.